tonight, but I had to come here.
I guess the first thing I want to say is please put your phones on mute or silent so that we don't have any ringing going on. That'd be good. And then, second of all, we need a roll call.
Commissioner Snapa.
Present.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
And Supervisor Couch.
Excuse. You got an election coming up. So, anyway, welcome everybody. Before I get started, I wanted to let everyone know, you know, the bad news, if you haven't heard, that Jeff George died suddenly a few weeks ago. And so, on behalf of the commission, we all want to send out, you know, our regrets to the family and to the staff. So it was a terrible thing that happened. It was sudden and wasn't expected at all. But anyway, went to his funeral and the place was packed. So he had a lot of great friends and family. So we'll miss it. Let's see. Approval of summary of proceedings from last month. Does everyone have a chance to take a look at it? Quite a lot of stuff going on. And okay, we have a motion to approve.
I will second.
You'll second.
Thank you. Yeah.
So all in favor of approving it?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Consent agenda. So we're going to move right into item D, public presentations. I'm going to read it, especially for, there's some new ones here. In fact, I met a couple in the elevator, Carson and his mom. Raise your hand. It's your first meeting, right? Anybody else's first meeting? Ah, okay, well, good.
Welcome.
Anybody here from Bakersfield College? I would like to ask that question. Nope. Oh, okay. You are. Okay.
Are you in Holmes' class? Stephen Holmes?
No.
Is it poli sci class that you're here for?
Yes, I took them last semester.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you're from Bakersfield College also?
Yeah, I'm in Holmes' class.
Okay, good, good. Well, we've got a good group here tonight. So this is how business and government happens. This is how it happens right here. So welcome, and I hope you learn a lot. And I always learn something every month. Some things I don't want to know. So, anyway, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct staff to place the matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation, and you're limited to 2 minutes. So, first row.
Oh, okay.
And I hope the microphone's working okay.
I don't need a microphone.
Well, yeah, we do.
Okay.
Just run around. You'll be all right.
You put my glasses on.
Okay. All right. Keep in mind.
And next, keeping track of the clock, so.
He knows me well enough that I will be 1 minute and 59 seconds.
Okay, you're good, I think.
It's working.
Is it working?
Yes.
Okay. All right, you ready, Nick?
I'm ready.
Okay. My name is...
I just want to make sure you say your name.
My name is Dawn Romero, and I'm with Unity Thrift and Outreach Rescue, and we are an all-volunteer rescue, primarily located in Taft, but also I have a process from Bakersfield. So I wanted to talk about something that I think long-term will have some big effects on Kern County. You may or may not know that the L.A. City passed an ordinance recently that now restricts the number of rescue dogs in storefront locations. So Vanderpump Dogs is a good example of a storefront location. So is Barking Bitches.
I know.
Yes. That's the name of the store, Barking Bitches. So just for an example, last year, Barking Bitches took 580 dogs from Unity Thrift, primarily from Kern County Animal Services. They were large breeds, they were pregnant moms, nursing moms, everything in between. So basically, our rescue last year, we pulled, rescued, fostered, and transported 2,230 animals. Teresa Walker is here, and Teresa has close to 1,900, right? So that's about 2,000. I'm sorry, 4,000. So you keep adding up these numbers. So if the LA City can pass an ordinance to restrict the pet stores that they can only get their animals from LA City or LA County location, that means we're cutting off a resource for a county to send out our dogs. Because the majority of dogs that leave Kern County. We figured it was 6,000 easily last year that were transported out of Kern County. So 580 may not sound like a lot to one location, but you start adding up different locations and where are they going to go? And what are we going to do if they figure out an ordinance to restrict rescues from taking dogs from Kern County? What are we going to do if they live at Northern California creates an ordinance? Or Washington, Oregon, all these places decide not to take our dogs? So I just wanted to share that information with you, and you know, it's something that we need to think about because we have to have more options than just transporting dogs out of Kern County.
And that ordinance is in effect now?
There's different dates. Some are saying it went into effect January 1st. Some are saying it went into March the 1st. But effectively, it's in effect right now. They are not allowing dogs. Rescue storefronts to take dogs outside of LA City or LA County.
No, it's a county ordinance?
It's a LA City Animal Services ordinance.
City. Okay, yeah. It's a city ordinance.
But they kind of extended it to LA County for those places that they can get them from LA City or LA County. It would be like Kern County passing an ordinance, but saying, okay, you can get your dogs from city as well because they're all going to cross over the border, basically. Okay. Wow.
All right. That's news. Some of us. Thank you for your comments.
Not good news.
No, but it is news.
Yeah.
Show in the first row. Anybody else? Okay. Sunday.
Sunday Martineau. So I had kind of going off of what she's talking about. One of our biggest things for getting the dogs out is having these resources for us to them to go somewhere. Dogs and cats both. And I feel like we have really come into a bottleneck because having these things here closed down, that's two resources that we had. We've also had a couple of hoarding cases, and we had Wishing Well, the sanctuary that closed down. What was that, 200? 200 animals. So that was including horses and
dogs.
175
dogs.
Okay.
20 horses.
Yeah, 175 dogs. So, And bless her heart, nobody has anything bad to say about Bonnie, but that was a situation that's been going on for years because it was an overflow for dogs to go that couldn't find homes. And Bonnie did a lot of work as far as pulling dogs from shelters and, different situations or whatever. So they were able to live their lives, up to this point on our property. But when something like that happens, then we don't have anywhere for them to go. So that really clogged up our other resource, our other rescue resources all over the states. So now our most urgent dogs in the shelters are held up. And that's a big deal. So we're just, I feel like we're pulsating. We've got this whole, dogs coming in. The shelters have turned into rescues themselves. When you think about it, they really have. Like, Nick has gone above, and beyond trying to save as many animals as possible, with the programs he's got for the vouchers, and that kind of stuff. And just really helping out the community the best that they can, but we need more. So at the last meeting, I was talking about mobile spay and neuter and how we really, really needed that. And I was able to work closely with Melanie Scherer, and she is the owner of the SNP bus, and they are a mobile spay and neuter clinic. Now, they are primarily based out of Northern California, so that's kind of what she was starting to do, was just in her area. But then, of course, the need is great all over the state of California, but when we found out about her, man, I wrapped her up, and she has done several clinics in Wasco for us. So kind of focusing on that. Well, because she wasn't planning on doing down here, after talking to her, she was able to get us a truck and a trailer that we can have here in Kern County indefinitely. So that's a huge thing that we can have. Okay? Because that, we've got the programs, we've hit the people who are responsible owners, now we've got the people who are able to take advantage of the vouchers programs, but now we need to get into the streets. So now I'm able to do this. This is here for us, and we can start it as early as April or May. Okay, trailer's being made, it's going to be coming here to us, It's totally on a donation basis, and that's great. But here's my concern. I want to make sure that I'm not going to go to all this trouble and raise another $250,000 to put us in the streets 72 days for a year. So that's how much we'll get. It costs $3,500 a day for this clinic to run. That's the vet cost. That's the cost of, you know, the meds and the supplies and that kind of stuff, because we have to have a vet, we've got to have an RVT, we've got to have tech. I'm going to run all the administration for the paperwork, which I'm a free resource, you know, every time.
Join the club.
Yeah. But I can't do all of this and raise this kind of money if we're not going to have green regulations in place.
Okay.
So if we don't do that, everything that we've done so far and all the work that all the shelters are doing is for absolutely nothing. If we don't plug up where that's coming from, and this is for nothing. So I just have to make sure that this isn't going to take a long time. So Jerry, I mean, I'm going to talk to you, you know, directly too. Please do not sit on the regulations. We need the stuff to be looked at and passed on for approval and sent on to the supervisor so we can get this stuff done. Because if I start this thing in April and we do all this stuff and then we sit on it for another year, it's for nothing.
Well, make sure you're here next month. Remind us again.
Oh, I will.
You're not going to do it. Okay, thank you. Okay. Did you have a question?
How many pets can be done in one day for that $3,500 cost?
35 to 40 dogs.
Wow, pretty good.
So we're hoping to do about, with the 72, because that's important to think about, too. I mean, it's like, I know, what's our voucher? Like, how many vouchers do we do each year? Like, you remember?
1,800 or so.
About 1,800. So if we do just 35 dogs, and I was able to do 70, that's 2,520 animals that we can do on those 72 days. But it's going to cost me $250,000. So you put that up with that, what you guys are raising, that's $500,000 that we're spending just to try to contain what's going on right now. It's not going to get any better with the regulations.
Thank you very much. Okay, anybody else from table one? Try to keep your comments to 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
I let Sunday go a little bit, but that's okay.
Hi, my name is Haley Hustis, and I'm about 2 years deep into Rescue World, and I have learned a lot, especially from all of them. And what I've noticed and why it is so important to stress that we not only make breeding regulations, make them strict, but enforce them as well, is because a lot of people in the rescue world are getting burnout. I've only been doing this not nearly as long as all of them, and I'm already getting my heart broken, burnt out, tired, because we really are a Band-Aid with the Niagara Falls wound. So you and the regulations and enforcing them, that is the solution. Even like she said, we can mobile spay and neuter every day. But if there's constantly people popping out puppies because they're wanting to make money, they don't care, there's no, you know, oh well. And here's another thing to think of as well, too. You want to talk about, everybody likes to talk about numbers and numbers and numbers, and that's great, okay? And take the number of how many animals are being euthanized, and the numbers have gone down tremendously through everybody's health.
Okay.
Shelters and everything. You take away all the rescues because they're all burnt out and they're all ready to quit. Your numbers are going to skyrocket again, which also means taxpaying dollars to euthanize all these animals, to ship their bodies away. All of this, it's taxpaying dollars that is making all this happen. And we're all doing it out of the kindness of our hearts. So, not to mention, we're number one in the nation for parvo and distemper. That's awful to be proud of. That's embarrassing, exactly. And so what do people do when there's an outbreak of something? Contain it. We're not containing. And I'll stop because I've got to do it.
Thank you.
Haley, can you spell your last name for me?
Hustis, H-U-E, S as in Sam, T as in Tom, I, S as in Sam.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else from table one? Okay.
Hello, Stacy Jiske.
I'm just here to reiterate what I've been reiterating, which is I sat on the committee for a year with a couple of the commissioners, as well as Nick had a lot of great input. We put together a really nice piece of legislation that really is not that in-depth. I don't believe it should take that long for us to go through it. It's a really easy read. And there's no reason that the Board of Supervisors shouldn't be presented with this in its current form, as well as receiving their input. I think that looking at Los Angeles as an example of the many things that are to come our way, this is just one example of what is going to come to us. I've said it several times that we do not have a long-term place in plan. Us relying on other communities to take on our problems is not a solution. They're going to get to a point where we have contaminated their communities, such as we have done in other areas where we are sending sick animals, and guess what they do? They close their doors down to us. And like Sundy said, where do these dogs go? Where do these cats go? Where do any of these animals go? So while we have been cruising on over a decade of education, 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 where is this education? I have continuously come up here and asked the commission, what are you doing to educate the community? I don't get an answer. I have continuously asked that we look at these breeding permits. It doesn't take that long. I'm looking at our county council, who's on her phone, who isn't even taking the time out to listen to anybody. And it's a little frustrating because I have 30 seconds left. Thank you. So at this point, you know, we're not giving up. And we're going to keep bringing more and more numbers into here. And we're going to keep fighting for the rights to have a better community, because I deserve a better community. You deserve a better community. And everybody in this community deserves better. And you also need to think now that you have homeless people that are breeding animals to make a living. So you have another bigger situation that's coming onto your hands.
Thank you very much for your comment. Anybody else on table one? Okay.
I am new to your area. I've been here about 2 years from St. Louis, Missouri.
What was your name again?
Michelle Rizvanovich.
Okay.
And the first day I was here, I went to Walmart and I picked up some puppies, not because I wanted to, but because a homeless woman had them. There was nowhere to take them. I didn't know where to take them. Nothing was in place. It was a very eventful day. But over the 2 years that I've been here, because I did rescue in St. Louis, Missouri for a couple years, they all worked together. And they came up with solutions. And they fixed the problem. All I see here, I've never seen in any community the no enforcement. There's no rules. There's no compliance. There's no nothing in place for the people that are doing the things they're doing to these animals. You see the news reports. You see where they've taken out the dogs or they've done something, but there's no accountability. And there is, like she talked about education, you spend all this time, 10 years now, educating. At what point do you start enforcing? Because it's become a culture of, it's just a dog, it's just a cat. But yet, we're the ones that see the trauma of these animals. They're not just a dog, they're alive. But they're being euthanized. And they're being rescued. That's the answer, which is a reactionary answer. So when you're at the river and you're pulling people out, at what point do you go to the top and find out why people are falling in? And I don't know that this community is going to be the place I want to stay, because it's not where I want to raise my family.
Thank you. Table two.
Wait, Michelle. You disagree that there are no ordinances in place. We are working on making better ordinances, and you can't say blanketly they aren't being enforced.
And I do want to throw out there too that the county is actually really limited on resources. You know, there's only so much you can do. It's kind of like the police. The police can all be there, but you know, it's 5,000 people as opposed to 2 police. You can't do much with that. I mean, you do what you can, and you do the ones that you can do, but they don't deserve to be put down for the fact that they don't have the resources themselves, and they are doing everything they possibly can to get to the problems.
Mr. Chairman?
They're doing a lot. In fact, I was over there today, and I know they're working as hard as they can, so.
Chairman?
Anyway, Jerry.
I had a question on the... Do you know the number of the LA City ordinance you were talking about?
I don't, but I can get it for you.
If you would, please. I can't find it.
Yeah, I just asked Shannon.
Thank you.
Michelle, do you mind spelling your last name for me?
Yeah, it's R as in Robert, I as in Igloo, Z Zebra, V Victor, A Apple, N Nancy, O Oscar, V Victor, I Igloo, C Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, table two. Michelle.
I'll go.
Why not?
Why not?
ordinance number. Oh, sorry. It's 186373.
She just gave me the ordinance number.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got it.
Sorry.
I got it.
It's 186373.
Thank you.
Sean did it. Texted to you. Sally.
Okay, thank you. Michelle.
Michelle Vallejos, 93311. When Michelle talks about coming into this place and saying things like aren't being enforced, like we know things do get enforced.
They do.
But we also know, it's no offense, and I don't like to insult anyone because that's not what I am. I know we're understaffed and overflowed. But when I hear it from a bunch of the community, when you try to call animal control or they're not picking up a dog or there's this dog or whatever, and it's over in flux, the impression is that nothing is happening. And even if everyone is doing as much as they can, the impression is that they are not. So maybe then we should figure out a way to show a different impression. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how anyone would do that. And if maybe everyone wants to go to their supervisor, respective supervisor, and say, hey man, we're not looking too good. Maybe you guys can go out there and give a different impression. Or something different. Because we all know what,
let's try this.
We all know what people think of animal services of any kind. That dog is gonna be euthanized and we don't like it. So maybe it's time to get a different impression going. Because that is the impression that nothing is being done. So I understand when people say that, but I also understand that stuff is being done, so I don't know.
Right, because that's the thing, too, you have to remember, like, I personally live in Ridge Crest. It's 2 hours from here for them just to come out for a call. When you have two, three, you know, probably animal control officers working at a time, you know, call the people in Ridge Crest, oh, they don't do anything. Because it's 2 hours for them to
get. Oh, I get it.
They have to deal with the problems that they can get.
Right.
That's the thing, is you can't change the impression, because it's not an impression. It's the facts of, you know, this is what the situation is. You know, there's nothing that they can do to change.
Maybe they should figure out a different way to do it. I think that would mean more officers, and that's the problem.
Right.
Let's all go to our respective supervisors and figure out a way to throw in like one extra salary a year.
For one.
Well, then every year add one. I don't know, but I feel like
there's answer is the problem. You guys are looking for the simple, quick answer, and it's not there.
Well, I don't think we're looking for a simple, quick. I think we're looking for something different.
I kind of think that, I definitely understand the perspective. I mean, I've been one to say that we are definitely underfunded, not only when it comes to animal control, but when it comes to many things in Kern County. But at the same time, I think the perception is that is what is like vocalized. So when folks, you know, come to all of us in this room and they say, you know, animal control doesn't do anything, is our response like, yeah, we know they don't do anything? Or is the response, well, the department is really underfunded, we need to go to our supervisors and alert them that it's underfunded, and next time they review the budget, we need to put X amount of dollars into it. Or, you know, coming up with citizens can do this. You can come up with an initiative and have folks sign it and put it on the ballot. We can vote for more funding for the animal control services. Taxes in this county, a lot of people aren't going to like a tax raise, but that's what it's going to cost if we really want to take these. But what I would ask is just from everybody in our community that we make sure that when folks are saying that animal control isn't doing anything, that we explain, well, it's just the perception, right? Is that a lot of folks are saying that, right? So I think that it's our responsibility as folks within this animal control community that we relay that it's not necessarily the department. It's the funding, the fact that there aren't enough AC officers on the streets, and we we really can't take care of the issues that we need to take care of without that kind of funding.
Nick, just for reference, how many animal control officers do you have today?
It's 7 today.
How many?
7.
7. To cover
8,000 square miles.
That was today.
8,000 square miles.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Okay.
I'm sorry. I think I passed the first table, but I am up there.
Were you here when I called on table 1?
Yeah, but I like walked in late and just...
Well, after her, I'll let you get up there. Okay. Keep in mind, everybody, let's try to keep the chatter down. Keep in mind that if you're seeing some issues in the city limits, that's Bakersfield City. And you need to have the same conversation at City Hall. Okay? You do? Okay, good. Because we're county.
Don't worry, you're not special.
Oh, I knew that. I knew that.
We're not singling it out. It's fine.
Okay. I just want to remind everybody.
Hi, I'm Maureen, 93309. I, too, am new to the area. I'm from the Midwest. I grew up in Chicago, lived in St. Louis. So I understand your frustration. As somebody who came in as an outsider and has seen the differences in communities, it's startling. And it really is a stark difference when you come from an area where there are regulations and they are enforced, because they have had problems like this, where we have had overbreeding, and we have had dogs running and roaming the streets, impregnating one another. Those problems have been fixed in our communities in the Midwest. So I understand your frustration, and I can recognize that and see that it's different in this community. And anybody that I've told about these situations in our community are shocked that this is happening here and can't even believe some of the things that happen here. Where it is, okay, for example, puppies being left in a storm drain, or a dog being hit by a car and left on the side of the road. That was one of them that we just recently helped out with Bakersfield Boxers and Bullies, had to pick the dog up from the side of a Chuck E. Cheese because it was bleeding ridiculously and people were just walking past it. That's the kind of stuff that's happening in our communities. In terms of animal control and not having enough animal control officers, I think one thing we need to incorporate and include for our community members is transparency. We need to know what they're doing on a day-to-day basis, whether that be incorporating ride-alongs so that people can come and actually see what's happening on these during their shifts and seeing how they're actually handling calls. I think that's really important. You know, for example, there was one dog that we had found who was starving to death, emaciated. Animal control was called multiple times, and it took weeks and weeks for that dog to get taken out of that home. We want to know the process that it takes to get that dog out of that home, why it took them so long to get that dog out of that home, and what we can understand better as a community to therefore help our animal control officers.
I think you're more than welcome. You just have to ask Nick about a ride-along. I know that others have gone in them. So
as far as... Yeah, right. She's right about that. As far as transparency goes, this is an example of transparency for the county. I mean, they're being transparent today. They've got their numbers. If you want to crunch the numbers like I do, feel free. Go ahead. But this is an example of transparency. We're not hiding from anybody. We're here letting everybody talk. I don't stop anybody from talking. Everybody gets their 2 minutes, right? Okay. All right.
Also, in the stats in this bunch of papers, there is how many calls the officers handle.
And we're going to get to that.
Yeah.
We're going to get to that.
I just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you're next. Sorry. Almost forgot.
Sorry.
These guys are giving me a workout tonight.
So, my name's Michael. Actually, born and raised in Bakersfield, grew up my whole life.
What's your last name, Michael?
Michael Nahara. N-A-J-E-R-A.
Nahara, okay.
So, I grew up in East Bakersfield. And as an adult, I've lived like downtown in the Groveland area, but I'm currently in 93308 on Harbin Street. But everywhere I've lived, I've always seen dogs out in the community and this and that. I've always kind of tried to help people when I was young, but I never really thought too much of it. I kind of got pulled into the rescue world a few years ago, unwillingly, and kind of been a part of. But I'm just kind of going to try to see if I can create some middle ground here. I've actually had really good experiences with all of the animal control officers and the county shelters that I've worked with. I think I've just been really fortunate, but quite often, I always take a dog home overnight, take it to the shelter, have animal control come pick it up. And I totally understand how funding works in the county. I work for a very large construction company. We do a lot of work for the county, and I totally understand how it gets. And I get what Neil's saying, we need to possibly raise taxes to pass these laws. And what I'm trying to say is, what can we do to help work with you guys to create some middle ground here? Because I understand you guys come and you tell the public this, and they think you're just trying to do your job, pass these laws, you know. But they hear from the animal community, you know, there's a lot of us, a lot of them, you know, they're really loud. And where can we be in the middle?
I'll say.
To create, and I read it, and I seen you brought notes from the last meeting, you know, and that is what we want to see. We want to know that you remember what we're talking about. And if we could just start right now, what I think, if we could just start right now, where you guys can come back next month and tell us what we can do to help you guys to meet somewhere in the middle to at least get started on the right path. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to throw anybody on the bus, but it sounds like nothing has worked so far. That's really what it sounds like.
There's a lot of...
And I'm willing to help. I'm willing to help them. I'm willing to help you guys. And just where we could start on a new track and move forward, you know? Because as a community, we're here to help you guys. I kind of feel like you guys might feel attacked. And, I work in a big construction. I know how it is. But I just hope if we can just kind of meet somewhere in the middle, just kind of move forward, you know? That's all I got.
Thank you very much.
And you're probably aware, but we just spent the last year on a subcommittee with... public and a group to try to revise and put more strength into the ordinance to be able to do more enforcement. So, I mean, unfortunately, it has to go through a lot of hoops to get changed, but at least it's a start.
Yeah.
So.
How many meetings have you been to?
It's just my second one.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, can I ask a question? I know my 2 minutes is up.
Yeah.
But can I just ask a question?
Well, no.
No,
I can't. I got to keep going.
Okay.
So.
Somebody else asked my question.
You come back and circle back maybe later. Okay, table to anybody else? Carson, you got a question? I know you got a question. No? Okay. No. All right, so table number three. Table three. Nobody on table three? Okay. Table four then.
Oh, yeah, wait a minute.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. You're up.
Yeah. Hello. My name's Teresa Walker, and I'm the director of No Paws Left Behind Rescue. And we primarily transport the animals.
Good.
And every year since the beginning, it just seems like we started out with, Cersei, you didn't start my time. We started out with, you know, maybe transporting 800 dogs. And progressively every year it's gone up. Now we're transporting 2,000 dogs to different areas, just trying to get them out of the Kern County district area. And I'm thinking the only way we're going to be able to stop all of this hemorrhaging of animals is by making a mandatory spay and neuter.
Well, we're talking about it. So.
And, you know, I don't think it needs to affect the legitimate breeders, AKC breeders, but it's something that should be addressed to backyard breeders.
New ordinance. It has been addressed. It's
being addressed right now.
It's being addressed. It's in for review. It may change. It may not. I don't know.
Oh, okay. But well,
yeah, that's
I never heard
year.
That it was.
Well, because we've been discussing it for a year, the committee, and now it's in for review. It has to go through several stages, but there is something in there about that.
All right, I think because that's the only way you're going to get it to stop or slow down even is keep the breeding down. Maybe even suggesting that if an animal gets picked up by animal control, don't turn it back to the owner unless it's fixed.
Yeah.
That's
old news.
I better get a copy of that then.
Because,
okay.
Is this your first meeting?
That's an old
one. I've never seen it before.
It's been a first meeting in a long time because I felt like you were just
if you come here and expect things to be done like instantaneously, it's not happening.
Oh, I didn't expect
it. We wish it would happen.
But it's, you know, everybody wants the same thing. We really do. Thank you for your comments.
That's not true.
All right,
that is
thank you. Before we leave off that, table four, right? One, two, three, four. Okay.
Jerry?
You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Okay, first I suggest in the future, instead of having people walk up here, why don't we pass the microphone? And then you just have to stand up with the microphone and everybody can still hear you, and that'll make it go a little bit faster. Just a suggestion. Okay, I just wanted actually probably to legal through the chair. With the ordinances that you have that you're reviewing, just because it comes out of legal does not necessarily mean that's going to then become law the way it is. And so I just wanted to have some discussion, some education on what the procedure is to have an ordinance actually go through, get approved by the Board of Supervisors. How do we do that? How do we envision that this is going to work? And that would include, when does it go from the commission to the supervisors? Was there a public comment? Is that required? Does it have to go out to a public meeting? And is it one meeting, 10 meetings? And who puts it out in public meeting, the commission or the supervisors?
Now, my understanding, since I was on the committee, and correct me if I'm wrong, we came up with the draft, and then it's now with county council, and I'm sorry?
Oh, and then it comes back.
Then it comes to the commission as a whole for our recommendations and public input, and then does it go to supervisors?
The commission will make a decision whether to forward the recommendation to the board.
Or redo, or whatever.
Then there's public comment at that point at the Board of Supervisors, and then the supervisors will vote.
Okay, so public comment can be done here in this room for the commission and at the Board of Supervisors room for them. It does not have to go out into the community like we've done before.
So they have to have two public meetings, but those public meetings do not necessarily have to be held at some off-site location. The public meetings can be held at the board meeting when it's presented.
Okay, because I've had people ask them.
There will be plenty of information available to whoever wants to.
Sure. Okay, so it doesn't have to go out the way it did before.
And actually, just to clarify, when your board sends it to the takes it to the Board of Supervisors the first time, it will then come back. They'll refer it to County Council to put in the appropriate format. County Council takes it back one more time where the ordinance is quote-unquote read or the reading is waived. So there's actually, under state law, there's actually two more hearings after the first time you guys take it to the board. So it does take a while.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry. Okay, we left off on table four.
Can't get up there. Can I just holler?
No. You say you can't get up here?
Well, I'll
talk from there. That'd be fine.
Okay, Judy Kaufman, 9331 Law. I was on the subcommittee, and in November, Director Cullen mistakenly reported that the subcommittee was working on language for a bridge permit. That was not true at the time, and we had two people that needed to have the next meeting in December. And then the person who yelled and hollered the longest, the loudest, were right. Kern County used to have a breeder's permit, and it's been gone. It was taken out years ago because it wasn't enforced, couldn't be enforced. Kern County does not, at this time, have the manpower or the money to enforce a breeder's permit, which would take at least once a month around the county, at least. My last statement is, breeders don't fill shelters. Irresponsible owners do.
Table five.
So I kind of want to
reiterate what these ladies have said, and you guys are talking about not having enough funds, but maybe if we find these people, like when they don't have their rabies, when they have dogs and they don't have their rabies, if we stuck to our guns and find these people, then that would bring in funds also to help you guys out. And I mean, there's puppies being sold every day in parking lots of Walmart, parking lots of, I saw it the other day, Toys R Us, and it's all the time. A friend just took a picture and sent it to me. These puppies can't even walk, and they're crawling on the grass where they can get parvo, they can get sick. They can, you know. Another thing, I had called county out, and they went to check on two dogs. Well, they couldn't get into the property. They said the dogs looked fine. That was okay. I just wanted a welfare check. But I think 6 weeks later, one of the dogs was missing. The other dog kept getting out from under the fence because the people had moved, left the dogs there. But because they were fine, the dogs were not underway, they left the dogs there. Well, 6 weeks later, this other dog that was still left there kept getting out from under the fence. So I took her to the pound, found out she was chipped, and she had been missing from her home for 4 years. And so these officers, when we do go out, they probably need to do ask for paperwork, ask for rabies, and if they don't have that, give the people the appropriate fines, and that will bring money to you guys to help out. Right? And this dog, I mean, she could have been found maybe 6 weeks later, or, I mean, when he had scanned her. Right?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, quick question for Nick.
Should I start there?
First of all, on the funds part and, you know, enforcing rabies vaccinations and all that, there is a brand new administrative citation that has been started. It's been in the works for a while. It's been started, and when the officers are able to issue citations, instead of the money all going to the county, that will go to the county animal shelter. So that's a big plus.
What is that called?
Administrative citation?
I've spoken about it.
Okay. And as far as the officers going out and doing something, I heard your story, but yeah. It varies on what the situation is, on what they can actually do. And when you called in, did you say, I was trying to tell your story, did you say that the owners, that the dogs have been abandoned?
I called in and said, yes, they moved out of their shop, and they said there was a vehicle inside the parking lot, and the door was locked, the gate was locked from the inside, so they couldn't get in. But, I mean, usually I've seen it times before to where they leave a note on the door, and they say they've got 24 hours to call.
Right.
But he said, even because the dogs looked healthy, that he left it at that, and I told him, thank you, I appreciated the welfare check. I didn't know 6 weeks later one was going to be missing and one was going to be out looking for food.
Okay.
But
yeah, I just was trying to follow the whole script. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we left off at table 5, right? Who else on table 5 would like to speak? I know, the girl in the yellow shirt would like to speak. No? Okay. Next table, Danny, is that Danny's table? Okay, come on up.
Who?
Don't come on up.
Oh, you're good.
And Danny will be after that.
Hello, my name is Isaiah Lopez. My zip code is 93305, just right around the corner. Okay. And it's just, as a kid, we had not many dogs, I think 3, but they all lived in the Northwest. And just having that, being able to watch the dogs and make sure they don't get out and having the safety on them is a big thing on us, the people who own the dogs. But at the same time, I as a kid in high school and just now at BC, I had no clue that there were, like, about the knowledge of these, like, meetings in general. Like, I never heard about them until my girlfriend in college has to come to them. And it's just, like, it's cold mind to hear about it. But I just wish I had more knowledge about these meetings and stuff.
Well, come every month, you'll learn a lot.
Well, probably now. And then also, my girlfriend is 93313. During the summer, there was a soft shell crab, not crab, a soft shell turtle just inside the street. And we called animal services and nobody came out. And
how many times did you call them?
We called them a lot, along with the rest of the neighbors that came outside because it was very interesting. And
turtle.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Every day.
Well, at least he wasn't running away.
Yeah, and nothing happened until one of the ladies who worked for one of the teaches about animal science in one of the schools came out and she took it to her own house and then kept it there for a few days until she actually took it in. So it just seemed like they were kind of lagging on how fast they were going to come up to get it, because that turtle could have died. And it honestly doesn't seem like there are many turtles here in Bakersfield in general.
No. Was it contained or was it just
out? It was just out.
It was out in the street?
Yep. I don't know if somebody just went and dropped it off there, but it was just.
They're known for being little escape artists, I think.
Well, this was an aquatic one that swims, so it can't really get far. It barely even moved when it was on like grass, and we moved it to the grass.
Okay,
well,
thank you.
Thank you.
So keep coming. Don't do it just because it's required by BC. I mean, we need the input. We like to have participation. This is how we kind of get things done. So, okay, Danny, are you ready?
Dog.
Pull the dog up. Daniel Literal from 93308. I wasn't going to really say anything, but I noticed the turnout here, that there's more people than usual.
Way more.
And I would just like to say to you, those of you you weren't here last week, last month, thank you for coming. And what I would say is that by continuing to come, you're going to do yourself a whole lot of favor. I'm not trying to toot my horn, I've been coming, I've missed one meeting in the last 3 years. The reason I come is because this is an open forum where you can ask questions of the commission, of Nick, of Sally, of Blake, of whoever it is from animal control. So I hope that what I would encourage you to do is to keep coming back and to develop a relationship with your animal control, not just here in the meeting, but outside of this meeting. There's two sides to every story, and that goes both for rescuers that interact with animal control and when animal control interacts with rescue people. You can find a lot by, you know, it's a cheesy thing that everybody says. Everybody's here for the same reason, which is because they care. There's nobody here that doesn't care about animals. And it's really important to keep that in mind. Having a respectful, calm conversation, you can learn a lot from both sides. And so I would really encourage you to do that. And the other thing I would say is that an example of this, to give credit, is Michelle and Stacy. They started coming here, I don't know, a couple years ago. And the difference with them, the reason they're on the subcommittee thing, is because they kept on coming back. And you look at what they've done. Whether they're successful or not, no matter what comes of the subcommittee, they made a difference. They matter because they didn't just show up, once a year. They kept on coming back. So I'd encourage everybody, if you want to make a difference, want to inform yourself, keep coming back. Speak up.
You're right, Dan.
Thank you.
I second that.
Are we done with the presentations?
Well, I'm not sure. Did you want to speak after all the presentations, or do you want to?
Yeah, just a comment on the ordinance.
Okay, come on up. You want to make a comment? And I guess you're the last one. Easier if you come the other way.
And while she's coming up, to the young man that was just up here, that this is his first time here, I don't know if you know what a ride-along is, but you can go out with the animal control officers and spend the day, half a day, whatever, and learn what they do. So that's another option for you.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Patricia Irwin, and I'm with Fault Rescue. My zip code is 93301.
Beautiful.
I haven't been here in a long, long time, like really long, like M Street maybe.
Like how long?
But one thing I wanted to bring up is there's a lot of people who are doing a lot to help with the animals, and that is the transporters who are getting them out. And like Teresa mentioned numbers, it went from 800 to 2,000. Well, we're not getting any younger, And eventually, the transporters are going to get tired, and there might not be new transporters to step up. And what's going to happen to the county then? What's going to happen to those 2,000 animals that are shipped out of here? Is it monthly? I don't know.
About 6,000.
So that's just food for thought. I mean, I haven't been here in a long time, and I just wanted to mention that because, I mean, I know I've been doing it 10 years, and I'm tired, much more tired than I was in AAPT because they're driving. Yeah, right. So just my food for thought.
Thank you.
Well, I've been given a lot of food for thought tonight. Well, it lasted me a long time. Jerry Bradley, you have it.
Yeah, I pulled up the ordinance. It hasn't yet been codified online, but it will be LA City Municipal Code, Section 53.5E, and I have a copy of the approving document. If you'd like to have it, I can email it to you.
I sent it to Sal.
Yeah.
Oh, you found another one?
No, I found it online.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just Sally got my email.
Okay.
She got my number. It's insane. Yeah. Saying that they're not going to take you here.
It actually, what it says is that the general manager for the city of Los Angeles is hereby authorized to adopt such rules and regulations reasonably necessary to carry out the purpose of this article. No permit shall be issued to any pet shop unless the pet shop agrees to obtain its dogs, cats, or rabbits only from an animal shelter operated by the city or county of Los Angeles.
Yeah. And not even rescues.
Wow.
Yeah, not even rescues.
And the 17 storefront rescues type places in Los Angeles City. There's also a lot that are in the LA County, but again, how long is it going to be before they go, this is working in LA City. We've stopped the flow of dogs coming in, and now we're going to adopt it in the county as well. And then we also send, and I know lots of other places do too, to places in LA County as well.
Okay, I want to thank everybody for all their comments. They've been really good comments, you know. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear, but what it is, so everybody's trying to get to the same place. Yes, so that's going to close out the public presentations. We're going to move on to item E, Director's Monthly Report. Director Collins.
Good evening. I'm Colin, Director of Kern County Animal Services. Commissioner Blackburn had mentioned something that I wanted to take a moment to just expand on. He had mentioned that a gentleman by the name of Jeff George passed away. I don't know that everybody in this room knows that name. Jeff George was our volunteer coordinator. Correct. Not only was Jeff our volunteer coordinator for the past 6 years, almost 7 years, he built the volunteer program. We literally had 3 volunteers when he came on, and he built it to something that was 80, 90, 100 volunteers at any given time. So, you know, we're still recovering from that, trying to figure out what we do as far as that vacancy that was left. But it was tough for the department to stomach, and I just wanted to acknowledge who he was. Okay, if you follow our Facebook page or if you watch the local news, we rolled out something that I just want everybody to be aware of. It doesn't really have a name. It's called the Text to Home Program.
Yeah.
If you could just spread the word that if somebody loses their pet, doesn't matter what jurisdiction they live in, a lot of the times, a lot of us have been doing this for a while, rescuers as well, some people just don't know what to do when they lose their pet. People will still say that, I thought I was supposed to wait 3 days because my dog might come back. No, don't wait 3 days. I'll adopt your dog and bring him down. So please spread the word. If you hear somebody that says, I lost my animal, tell them that there's a program. They text the word LOST to the number 555-888. 555-888. And what they're signing up for a texting service, really. It doesn't cost you anything, the animal owner. cost us very little. But what they'll receive is a text message, four or five text messages within the first day that'll have really good tips on how to find your pet. It'll also include links to our website that has all of our animals that are updated hourly. Then there's additional text message that they'll receive that has links to the City of Bakersfield's website that shows those pets that came in that day. Then there's the SPCA animals that are in their possession. Then there's some videos that we gave links to about how to find your lost dog or lost cat. There's a lot of good information on there that can help somebody reunite their pets. We rolled it out in December. I think it was December. Maybe January. It may not seem like much, but I know that there was already one person who didn't know what to do. She emailed me, or she messaged the program. I don't think she knew that I could see the response on the other end. But yeah, she lost her pet. She texted the number. She got the text message, and she scrolled the city's Facebook page. She found her dog, went down, and she sent me a picture of it in the backseat that she was driving home. So it works. It's just going to take all of you to spread that message that if someone loses their pet and they don't know what to do, 555-888, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, doesn't cost you anything. I placed a packet of what would seem like nonsensical numbers back there. Some of you may have grabbed it, some of you didn't. The commissioners had it. So we had an all-staff meeting, and I'm going to preface with what I'm going to tell you what this is, with the fact that this is strictly in our shelter. This has nothing to do with the community and what's happening in the community. They're both important, because I will remind you of something, that there are still adoptable pets dying in the shelter. The first number, which you guys will have to flip to the back page. The page that I gave you guys might be backwards. The first number says 20,502. That was 20,502. So 20,502 is the number of dogs and cats that we killed in 2012. Wow.
2012.
It was less than 8 years. Just let that sink in for a second. 20,502. The next number that you'll see is 3,081. 3,081 is the number of dogs and cats that we killed last year, 2019. The next number after that is 1,961. That's a very important number, and I'll tell you why. I had an all-staff meeting yesterday, and I wanted to remind the staff of what we're trying to accomplish, at least in the shelter. What we're trying to accomplish is what's called a no-kill save rate. That's a 90% save rate or above. What we saved in 2019, just over 10,000 animals, compared to what we need to save to beat that, reach that 90% threshold, is 1,961 pets. So when I was challenging my staff, I wanted to let them see that number, how close the organization is, at least from the sheltering aspect, 1,900 animals a year. And we'll be saving 90% as an open admission municipal animal shelter. So the reason why that number became so impactful is I broke it down a little bit further. That 1,961 animals a year, to digest, but it's 160 more animals a month. Break it down a little bit further, it's 40 animals a week. And even further, considering that we're only open 6 days a week, six.
A day.
The number I gave them was six. If we could save six more pets a day, County Animal Services would be a no-kill sheltering system. It does not say anything about what's happening in the community, which I've said ad nauseum up here. There's a difference. But six pets a day is what I challenge my staff to walk through the shelter, find a pet that means something to you, and make it one of those pets that we know we have difficulty placing. So that's large, floppy-headed dogs and underage kittens. And I said, if you can take one of those pets, we have 58 staff members, I think, somewhere around there. If everybody just takes one pet, myself included, and you're the champion in that pet. You post them on your social media. And anybody that you come into contact with at the shelter, you say, are you looking for a dog? Or is that a perfect one for you? If everybody did that and we succeeded just 10% of the time, we would be a no-kill organization by December 2020, which, by the way, was the goal originally. It said 5 years. It was 4.5 years ago. So somebody had mentioned to me that we should probably share that with the folks at the commission meeting, how close we are as an organization to saving 90% of the animals that comes with lost 55588. Don't forget that. Our program highlights in January, we saved 233 animals to rescue partners. Our foster program, 82 new animals went through the foster care program. So currently, when we printed this, 73 animals in foster care. That number is probably going to double in a couple of months. Our TNR program has produced 9,759 live releases since 2015. We had a few clinics. We had a Rex on Acres clinic that was not successful at all. It's not funny at all. Rex on Acres. Yes. We had 9 rabies vaccinations, 9 licenses, 4 microchips, and 2 canine implants. We actually called it early because nobody showed up. But that was really our fault because we didn't canvas thoroughly. And we still had people that said, if I would have known in advance, I would have come out. So we'll own that. But our Wednesday evening clinics, I don't know if anybody pays attention to our statistics, but the Wednesday evening clinics are starting to pick up a little bit. There's some internal machinations that would need to be explained. We had a public education and enforcement team, which was 2 staff members that kind of went door to door enforcing licensing. We disbanded that fee program, and when we created the administrative citations and gave the officers the ability to issue those administrative citations. And if anybody wants to know more about it, why it's important, come see me after the meeting, I'll tell you. But those numbers are starting to come up again at from those Wednesday evening clinics because folks are receiving an administrative citation opting to license their pet to get a rabies vaccination instead of having to handle a couple $100 fine. We did have a couple of adoption events. The Bakersfield Converse hosted us for their nonprofit awareness thing. One pet was adopted from Petco in January. 397 total animals were adopted in the month of January. Again, January seems to be a slow month. Total calls for service that were run in the field were 1,342. 13 dogs returned to their owners in the field. 94 dogs secured on property by animal control officers. That concludes the director's report. I can answer any questions.
Hold on. We're going to have appear first. All right. For sure.
I do have a question. I understand a lot of people are complaining that when they have cats, for instance, that are just roaming, free-roaming cats, if they try to take them to the shelter, they're actually being turned away. Can you explain why that happens?
It depends. If somebody brings a feral cat to us, we will typically tell them to take it to Critters Without Litters. And there's a program for Critters Without Litters that they'll fix the cat at no cost. But simply put, I don't have the staff to care for cats. We do accept adoptable cats. It's just that if we don't have the room or the space for a cat, we deny and we turn them away. So we are not under no legal obligation to take cats. We're legally obligated to take dogs.
Oh, I see. I didn't know that.
So when we reach capacity for cats, we turn people away.
Okay.
Or we'll make an appointment sometimes for them to come back at a later date. But if it's a feral cat, they're directed over to Critters Without Litters State, please.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Carey.
I just wanted to mention one of the girls I work with actually brought these in. They went to a hockey game over here in Bakersfield. And they were passing out. It's make her no kill bracelets, and they brought back a whole basket full of them, so we can actually pass them out at work. But I just thought these were pretty cool.
Yes.
Where'd they come?
She asked for a couple bracelets, and I was like, take a bag.
They probably got those from the Converse game that we those bracelets we give away for free.
Bracelets, tattoos, some swag.
We have a few of those items that we take out to events usually. The only items we will sell, which was a process getting the authorization to sell them in the first place, like t-shirts. And I think we have some decals for the back of the vehicles, too.
Don has on a t-shirt.
Don's wearing one right now.
Well, let's see. I cut the neck off because I strangled her prior to life, apparently.
Okay. Commissioner, do you have a question?
No.
How many, just not including admin, just ACWs and ACOs, how many are on staff?
I think we have approximately maybe 25 animal care workers, 25 or 30. We have probably appropriated 13 animal control officer positions, but without getting into specifics, not all of those are on duty or actively on duty. So probably between the two, you're looking at 38, 40 full staff members, shelter and field included.
Right.
And that's three shelters, by the way.
Yeah. My observation is, I love this illustration. This really hits home in a way that we can really understand how close we really are, and we're all obligated to do what we can. Down to six a day, that pretty much explains it very simply, where we need to, what it takes to get there. Also, this is contagious, what's going on. Even at the Board of Supervisors, at least when David Couch was the chairman last year, he had pet of the week. Every meeting, he would have Nick there and introduce the dog, typically, and talk about it. And it got placed the next day or two, right?
Still happens.
I'm sorry?
It still happens.
Yeah. Oh, it's still happening? I wasn't sure if that was still going on or not. Okay.
It's not a David Couch thing. It's a Board of Supervisors thing.
Okay. Anyway, so it's contagious. So they're thinking of other ways to be innovative. Hey, we're involved in this, too. We want to do what we can to showcase a pet for the week. So
just so everybody knows, probably being too transparent here. So everybody will ask me, especially the people at this building, at the board, they'll say, did the pet of the week get adopted? Of course the pet of the week got adopted. I'm not picking out a non-adoptable dog. I'm picking out something sweet and friendly that's not going to bite my face off. But there's a, again, I'm being very transparent.
But it's very possible in 2012 that animal would not have been adopted.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, it was a pretty good
chance. No, I know. Any animal came. Just trying to illustrate how far.
But to give you an idea of what my struggle is, putting... Yes, me, like the director of animal services, is that there's a lot of things that I want to do, but there are people in positions above me that kind of have to feel the same way. And sometimes it takes what some people refer to as walking the halls. I got to walk and talk to supervisors and tell them about what's important to me. And bringing a pet to the board meetings accomplishes some of that. I know it's hard to see. A lot of what we do is, it's a long game. I am not going to fix anything tomorrow. You all are not going to fix anything tomorrow. I'm sorry, but any law we create is not going to fix anything tomorrow. It's a long game. Teresa, I'm looking at you. You know it's a long game. I've known Teresa for a very long time. Patty, you and I have been doing this for a very long time. That pet of the week thing is more than just me bringing a cute little adoptable pet. There's a piece of it that I don't think even the board knows, that I'm just trying to get them to see that there's pets at the shelter that need homes. We need support. So, it appears to be working from my perspective.
Yeah, I want to go to the first table. Stacy was first.
I just have something that kind of popped into my head. I don't know if it's something you guys have thought about presenting. You know, when you got, like, when you do the free adoptions and you have, like, a sponsor, like, I had that Dodge or somebody like that that sponsors that. If you guys ever maybe consider, instead of doing free adoptions, doing, like, a free vaccination clinic, and they can instead pay for vaccinations and spay and neuter instead of paying for adoptions. Just a thought.
We haven't moved on.
Okay.
And we will continue to do it when we think it's appropriate. The problem is that the free adoptions, there's an inherent cost to care for a pet, which depends, it varies depending on how long the pet's been with us, what kind of pet it is, but the cost to purchase the vaccination is a finite cost, so the county gives us a hard time when we give something away that costs us money.
Right, right, versus to buy the vaccine.
So, yes, we can. We usually get creative with it. Like, we'll package some things together.
Kind of educate and get people out there. Like, if so, let's say the sponsor X wants to do something with the shelter or whatever, you know, and then they could putting that money into a different program versus the free adoption doesn't help, and maybe that could help educate people if they see that there's a vaccination. Maybe
I found dogs
or whatever. Just
an
idea that I
did about it. Yeah, we do. Usually, like I said, what we do is we'll package it together.
Yeah.
Like, we had a spay-neuter clinic in Mojave in December, and when we did that, we incorporated vaccinations as well.
Right.
No cost. So it's packaged together so that the auditors don't look at us funny.
Shirley, you're right here.
You were saying there's a lot of struggle and things that we don't see and stuff is you trying to convince or show the, your higher-ups that, you know, what you deal with and that there's adoptable pets, all that kind of stuff, to get them to feel and come around to where your thought process is. Is there anything that we can do as far as going to every house in Kern County and getting as many signatures? I mean, is there anything we can do to help you to be able to, even more roaming the halls, be all, hey, just so you know, some rescues came and brought me, you know, 750,000, I'm throwing a random number out there, you know, with signatures that for anything, for reading or delivery, I mean, anything that to help open their eyes that your community is also very much behind the few people in this room.
So, yes, there are things you can do, and just recommendations from me. First off, you should know who your district supervisor is. If you don't, find out. Second off, know what it is you want. If you walk into a supervisor, if you're lucky enough to get an audience with a supervisor, or at least the chief of staff, know what you want. My recommendation is don't walk in and say, you got to fix the problem that's happening. They won't respond to that. But if you ask for something specific, like I did ride along to Animal Services, I've talked to Director Cullen, talked to Deputy Director Breyer, they need 3 more officers to achieve what I think is possible. And here's how it can be done. Those usually are much more productive than just walking in there with a general idea. I will say, you gotta keep in mind, I'm not a politician, I never will be. I'm too transparent to be a politician. You got to keep in mind that there is not infinite resources to run the government. It's finite resources, very finite. So it's a piece of the pie, and every county agency has a piece of that pie. And when you go to your board member, your supervisor, and you ask him to increase the piece of the pie into the department that you care about, there's another piece that's losing.
Right.
Who probably also has somebody just lined up to come in their office after you to say, we need more resources.
Right.
And a lot of that right now is law enforcement
and fire.
So public safety. I think 75% of all the taxpayer dollars in the county goes towards public safety. Probably should be. But when you get in there and you try to grease those wheels, just remember that you're asking for something that somebody else is also asking for. And now, of course, the more people that come out and say that this is important to us, the better for our movement.
Well, and one more question on the same topic of this. So, who makes the decision where if, say, just for example, we
passed everything, introduced breeding permits. So it's money that someone has to pay for a permit to breed their dog, kind of, so on. Who makes the decision on that money going strictly to the same cause, like dogs and animals and everything? So then funding actually becomes a little bit more specific instead of reaching in and pulling from other pockets of, you know, the law enforcement, all that kind of stuff.
So typically, I think what you're talking about, if we had a permit, which we do actually, I won't get into that, if we had a permit to breed dogs and somebody paid for that permit, that's revenue. That
right.
stays with us. It offsets
okay, so it does
what the county gives us to operate.
Okay.
It doesn't go elsewhere.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Sarah, you weigh that in here?
Yeah, you put that in the same ordinance you do when you authorize the permit.
Yeah, yeah.
You just say where the money's going to go.
Okay, yes.
I have a question for you. Do you know why the rescue community and citizens in general that know how those things work cringe at the empty out the shelters and get those numbers down and everybody's adopted?
I do.
Why?
Why do you cringe? Because I think there's a belief that a dog that gets adopted at no fee is going to have a worse life than a dog that gets adopted for $50.
What if it was not that? What if it was like just in the last 2 weeks I've heard on the news, and I'm not even infiltrated in your area, but on the news there was two dogs in general that were adopted out of the county. 3 months later, they're emaciated, starving in the streets. They got 10 people for 5 days. Animal Patrol can't catch it for three days. I think three attempts. They finally caught it Saturday morning. This dog is so traumatized. One of your dogs. So you bring these people out in droves, and this is countrywide. This isn't just Bakersfield. This I've noticed in all the communities. People just cringe when they give away the dogs because there's no vetting of the people that are taking these dogs, and it brings people out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm asking is the fee isn't so much associated with the kind of person that's going to take the dog, just some actual record keeping and some vetting and some... Go back and check in a couple months. Is that dog still alive? I mean, do you have people to do that?
Let's keep in mind that we're up here.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. We're talking about laws and enforcing the laws. And I barely have the staff to do that. So think about, we process about 5,500 adoptions, just adoptions, every year. To do a home visit on 5,500 houses every year. Just try to let the logistics of that sink in. Have what kind of staff? I probably need 3 times the staff I had right now. You'd be looking at a $15 million budget instead of 5. You think it's hard trying to take pieces of the pie away from public safety? Try to talk about tripling the animal control budget. I'm scraping and scrapping just for one animal care worker position. But yeah, in a perfect world, we all know it. We would prefer to do a property inspection in everybody's house and make sure that they have the resources to even care for that pet. But when you're dealing with 5,500 adoptions a year, it's not possible.
But the rescue community does.
And does what?
Nobody.
Does what?
Vets all of their homes and makes the time and does it.
They have no budget
and all donations. And I don't know how many adoptions they're doing, but they're taking a huge load off of your numbers.
If that is...
It's equal. So how are they doing it? You...
That's
my question.
Yeah. So that is a very good question. If you run a rescue that is able to do 5,500 home visits a year with the same staff that I do, I would implore you to come down to my office and tell me how that's being done. And I will completely change the process of my government, my department, because I'm doing something wrong.
Right, like a random sample.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and I know, you know, it is kind of a general consensus if the dog is given away for free that, you know, they don't get the care. But I've seen I've worked in the animal industry for over 11 years now. And I see all kinds of animals from all kinds of walks of life, and the price of what somebody pays to adopt or not adopt does not have anything to do with that. I've seen people who have gotten animals for free, and they've done everything and anything they can for them. And, you know, again, it is sometimes above their means even. And so, you know, the getting them for free or not getting them for free doesn't mean anything on that. You know, it's all about, and even the home inspections, I've seen personally from our city shelter some of the home inspections that have gone on and turned around and the animal was in a really bad predicament later. I mean, it's just kind of hit and miss. I think you try your best to get them the best home you can. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I don't think there's a lot of control you can get with that on that sense, you know.
And that being said,
harder, you know, than just you can't go look at
somebody's
stuff.
I'm confused. Due diligence.
What do you want?
But listen, I mean, we got to move on. Run out of time. But that being said, my preference is to do a home check on every single animal that's adopted. Just rocking the hard list.
Questions?
Okay, table two.
I have a question. This, back to your going down and euthanasia.
The challenge I gave my staff that I shared.
This 20,502 animals,
dogs
and cats that you were euthanizing. How many years ago?
2012.
Was that when you were, quote, responsible for both the county and the city animals?
Yes.
So for anyone who sees this 20,000 that we are no longer euthanizing, there's another shelter that is taking some of these numbers. So however many years ago, if you don't know, the county and the city shared a space, and county took care of not only county, district animals, but also the city. And now they're separated. So we have a county shelter, and the city is completely separate. This 20,000 was when it was both.
Yep.
That is not deterring or dismissing what the county has done. I just want to make a note for anyone who doesn't know that.
So, thank you for your question. Put it even more in clarification. Yes, the city of Bakersfield absorbs those numbers now. I don't know specifically what they do, but I think they have approximately a 60% save rate. They take in about 9,000 pets a year.
They don't do reports, so
we can't. I mean, I have an idea.
Right, we don't have this.
So let's say that they're destroying 3,000 pets a year. 3,000 at the city plus the 3,000 from the county is 6,000 pets.
You still have 14,000.
You're still looking at something that says something.
Yeah.
So,
no,
I'm not saying there isn't progress need to be made. Remember, I'm just sharing this with my staff.
No, just some people don't know that, and it's something that I'm very particular about when I hear that high number. People don't know that they used to be together, and now they're separate, and they don't understand, so I just wanted to throw that out there. For transparency.
Okay, you have enough people. Questions? You would make a good competition.
I would.
Put that hand on next.
Oh, okay. No.
I'm actually not going to object. I think I've spoken with many of your officers, and I think you do a very noble job, and you're going to work your butts off. My action, I'm probably going to, pardon my French, piss off a lot of people in this room, but you put out...
Did you have to, though?
You put out a challenge to your staff to do something to make a difference, and I know that these rescues are doing their part in there, but how many people in this room go into the shelters and volunteer their time? How many of them take a pet, an animal that they're going to focus on, that they're going to try to turn into? You go into any shelter, and you look at these animals, and they're bouncing off the walls. They're basically like convicts, you know. But if you get in there and you spend 1 day, 2 days, 3 days with them, you see a complete change of it. You see an animal that goes from being, you know, bouncing off the walls to when you walk up to the kennel door, that they're sitting there patiently waiting for you. You know, you can get them out, you put them on a leash, you take them out to the yard for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe take them for a walk down the street. And then post that on your social media. You know, I saw a girl come in and brought out a dog that had been in the shelter for 3 months. It was ready to be euthanized. And she did one day, took that dog out for a day, took him into the PetSmarts and Petco's and so on and so forth, put a little adopting neckerchief on, posted it on Facebook, and that post went viral. Three people showed up on the same day to adopt that dog. They've been sitting in the floor for 4 months. So how many people here are willing to give up some of your time? I'm tired. I give up 4 to 5 days But I'm not attacking those letters. I'm asking how many people are brought into the shelter and give up a day, a week.
The majority of people in this room are probably already arguing most.
My husband says I'm the only person who can go to the grocery store and come back with a pregnant mom.
Am I going to get everybody's attention? We really need the news on. I only one last comment. Some of you people do way more than I do. So
how many up here? Do any of you go into the shelters?
I have my own shelter.
Yes. Essentially,
yeah. Okay, well, I'm just asking. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm saying, everybody in this room, ask yourself, hey, can I get this day? Can I get Saturday?
Okay, thank you for the comment. Any other questions? We need to go on. Table 3. Any questions? Table 4. No questions. Table 5, any questions?
It's our banner on our Facebook.
Oh, I have a question for Dick. Back to the cat thing, do you have the feral cat barn that you used to have? Didn't you have a feral program where they went to barnyard cats or something?
Yeah, we have a barn cat program, yes.
Okay, so you still have that. Okay, good.
Yeah, that's not super duper successful, but it's like 50 cats a year, which in my opinion is successful.
Anything else? I'm just going to close out with questions. Okay, here's the deal. I need to receive and file this report.
I'll make a motion to receive and file.
Thank you.
I second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No? Thank you. Spay and neuter update. And I didn't see your report.
Is the bean counter?
Could you bring 5 copies, please?
I'm Blake Smith. I am the business manager, a.k.a. BDI bean counter or whatever else you want to say. So the reason I am here is because the county attorney gives us $250,000 a year for spay and neuter. And so my purpose for coming up here month after month after month is to give you a report on where we stand on that. And we're doing that. I also add to that and other funding that we go out and get on our own. We have a grant from the California Department of Food and Agriculture. We got $45,949 or something off the wall like that to do our Save the Pity program. And so we are providing spay neuter for free for pit bulls and pit mixes. And we've done 224 of those as of today, since May. Actually, since June 1, that's when the program starts. Since June 1, we've done 224 of those. And we have also done, from our low-income vouchers, we've done almost 800 vouchers since July 1. And we've done, for TNR, we've done over 1,000 TNR since July 1, and we've also got some funding that we need to utilize, $7,500 for another food and agriculture grant. So I think we're doing what we need to do, and I want to make sure that everyone, we're right on track to utilize all of the $250,000 and the $45,949 that we got from Food and Ag without any problem by the end of the grant period. Do you have a question?
Yeah, just real quick on the pity specific breed, the spay and neuter. Thank you. My brain's not more functioning today. I heard mixed stories, so I just wanted to get clarification on that. If you live in the city limits and you have a pit,
you cannot take that dog to that program, correct?
Correct.
County.
You have to, in order to get a voucher, you have to show an ID that has a county jurisdiction address.
We're going to take questions up here first. Any questions?
The $10,000 that's allocated to outline surgeries, do you have plans to be using that money? Because I could be.
I can spend that all week.
I'm going to talk to Jean.
Before the end.
Deputy Director Breyer has a plan for that. And
I was afraid he was pointing at me.
She's already utilized some of it. I need to get that added to the report.
Does it get, if it doesn't get spent, does it get into like the TNR so, program or the low-income program?
Can I take this? So that money, that $250,000, we're the stewards of that money. And we've learned over the years that although it sounds like an incredible sum of money,
it's not.
Yeah. So
it's something.
What we try to do is we try to use it in the areas that are most impactful. And by impactful, we mean areas that most animals come in from. So we will start to look at things as the year comes to a close and probably divert most funds to Bakersfield.
So, but it will be spent before the end of the fiscal year.
Yes.
Because I'm just seeing a big old zero there.
Yeah. When we just, like I said, we just did a spay neuter clinic in East Kern, in Mojave, not in your neck of the woods, but I think we're trying to work on another before the end of the fiscal year, some assistance to Cal City, too. So yeah, some of that will be used up.
Okay. Okay. Do we have questions from the commissioners?
I'm good.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have a vet now?
No.
No, not yet.
Who's doing mobile spay?
There's a mixed mash of outsourcing and veterinarians that are coming into our facility.
Yeah. We still have Jennifer.
Okay. Do you have one other question?
I have one.
Yes.
Yes, sir. What is
it? Part-time.
Sorry? What is
it? Fiscal year begins July 1st.
Yes,
July 1st. June 30th.
Same as
the
county.
The fiscal year for the Save the Penny program goes from June 1st to May 31st.
I think we still have one full-time.
Okay, table two. Any other questions on lights? Table three? No. Table four? Five? Danny? Nope. Okay, I guess we have no more questions. Right, thank you very much.
All right, so, and I'm the business manager, so I can't help myself. The guards go in and dump to overtime and a half at 8 o'clock.
I know.
So we need to be done.
I'm moving as fast as I can. I'm moving as fast as I can.
Come out with your guns.
No, that's true.
Okay, everybody, keep on. Hold on. We need to receive and file this report as well.
I make motion to receive and file.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No?
Okay, you said it so fast.
Commissioner announcements or reports. I'm going to start on my right and. Do you have any, Commissioner?
Yes, I would just like to say I put a handout out from Hal Hart Humane Society and our numbers for 2019. We have done a lot, and as you can see, we have, for a small rescue, I think we've made a pretty good impact. We have fixed almost 800 animals, just mostly from Tehachapi. Some of them do come from Mojave, Cal City. We don't deny anybody anything, depending on income, location, I don't care where you live, I will still, how much money you make, I'll still fix your cat for $30. We spent a total of just over $58,000 on vet just for those clinics, of which we received $1,900 in copays, giving us an out-of-pocket for the year of almost $40,000 that our rescue has spent to spay and neuter the community pets. Now, some of those pets were taken into our system and were adopted out and received a small fee. And as you know, you adopt a cat for $85 and you're not making any money on that adoption program. So just wanted to say that it's there. And unfortunately now our next year's numbers are not going to look as good because our vet's only doing it once a month instead of two, three, four times a month. So bring me that band.
Okay, Commissioner Gary, you went to an event yesterday.
My other hat is I
I'm the director of a disaster animal response team. Covers seven counties, including Kern. They, for the first time, they had a California Animal Response Team Summit, and it was a whole lot of people. It was like, I think there are 75 people there. And what they're trying to do is take the disaster teams, there's so many of them, and have them be somewhat like CERT. So they have the same forms, the same everything, and it's run, you know, differently or together, because right now everybody has their own thing. So anyway, it was a really good thing, and we're going to meet quarterly.
Nice. And your meeting was where?
Fairfield, by Nampa.
By Nampa, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Do they think that we got by, you know, as far as disasters in the state? Was it any easier this last year?
It was easier.
Previous?
Northern California still got hit.
Yeah.
They get hit every year. And Kern.
And Kern on.
And Nick, you just got, I'm going to share what you just got.
Yeah.
Getting the cachet.
A heart attack?
You went poorly viral.
Hypertension? quite a while back, we were approached. Actually, it was from Naomi with Central California Animal Disaster Team. She had recommended to the California Veterinary Medical Association that the CVMA was considering, because of all the wildfires and disasters in the state of California, about granting, I want to say it was like 26 or 27 disaster sea trains that are stocked with disaster equipment, crates and bowls and blankets and stuff like that, all throughout the state of California in at-risk areas. So thanks to Miss Tobias, Naomi, she threw our name out there. They contacted us. I completely forgot about it, and it's being delivered tomorrow.
So, yeah. So hopefully we'll need it. But we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for me.
Great. I don't have anything to report per se, but I just wanted to, I know Nick had mentioned it earlier. I just wanted to say a few words about Jen George. And I wasn't able to make it to his funeral because of other commitments, but I just wanted to say, you know, he was a really big part of our animal control. I remember that right when County shifted over to the Fruitvale shelter, I had just gotten started with animal rescue and stuff like that, and I, met Jeff, and we talked a lot about how volunteers were going to take out dogs and stuff, and he was just a really great guy. We would argue a lot when it came to politics, but when it came to dogs and volunteers, we would mesh really, really well, and I miss him a lot. He's a really good guy. Really good asset to the department.
First,
yeah,
I second that. Okay, that's the end of commissioner announcements. Old business, guess what? There is none. New business, there is none. So, I need a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion.
Yeah. Second. All in favor? Aye. We'll see everybody March 18th, okay? All right, good meeting.